This episode is brought to you by Castor and Pollux, maker of America's number one organic pet food, Organix. Look for their newest line, Pristine, the only complete line of pet food made with responsibly sourced ingredients. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org/pets.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Hello and welcome to Cooking Issues. This is Dave Arnold, your host of Cooking Issues, coming to you live on the Heritage Radio Network every Tuesday from roughly 12 to roughly 12:45 from Roberta's Pizzeria in Bushwick, Brooklyn. Call in all of your questions to 718-497-2128. That's 718-497-2128. Joined, as usual, by Nastasia, the Hammer.
Sorry,
Lopez.
Sorry.
Hold on, I didn't announce you yet.
I was just bringing the mic.
You gotta wait till I announce you. That's the rules.
Sorry.
Wait. Joined, as usual, with Nastasia, the Hammer Lopez. How you doing, Stas?
Good.
Yeah? Yeah? Got Dave in the booth. How you doing, Dave?
Doing good.
Yeah? And because, again, this is Take Your Son to Work Life, we have Booker Arnold with us in the studio. Now you say something, Books.
Stop clapping.
So Booker, this is I've already gone over Booker's hatred of the Happy Birthday song before on the air.
The Happy Birthday.
No. So that noise you're hearing is Booker practices. What he'll do is he's like, if anybody comes to my house and sings the happy birthday song.
No, but they're going to get sprayed in the eyes.
With mace. He's like, I'm going to mace them.
Garden happy birthday.
Wait, are you trying to say that today is some kind of special day?
No. I just thinking about it. So he literally.
What if it's somebody's birthday?
No, it doesn't matter. He'll practice.
Gonna get sprayed.
So watch this. So what we used to do is we'd practice. I'd start singing and I'd see what his reaction time was just like off the bat. I'd be like, happy. See, that's how fast his reaction time is, which is why
slow, dude.
Which is why we don't let
happy
Booker.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Yeah, you're a little really late.
I was on my phone. And
doesn't matter.
Which is why we don't let Booker have bear spray. Because if Booker had bear spray, he would have used it by now. Yeah. So, Stas, you cook anything interesting recently? Dave, anything? Anything interesting cooking adventures or food adventures recently?
Nah, not really.
No? I've been practicing. I remember, I think it was last week, I was talking about the steamed cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Steamed cheese. I've been practicing with steamed cheese. I have to say, like, I really like steamed cheese.
Good.
I'm super pro steamed cheese. So, like, you know, look
at... I kind of hate the sound of that phrase.
Steamed cheese.
Yeah.
But what's weird is I'm trying to emulate the exact texture that I got at Ted's in Meriden, the steamed cheeseburger joint. Because I told you, they use it for their version of a grilled cheese as a steamed cheese sandwich. And they also do steamed cheese fries. They basically, steamed cheese is the stuff. The burger they steam because they kind of have to, because that's the Connecticut thing. But the real innovation people is the steamed cheese. So I'm working on it. I'm going to buy maybe some cheese steamers. I've been making my cheese steamers out of aluminum foil because I never have anything that's nice. Am I right, Stas?
That's right.
Speaking of nice, I'm going up to Harvard next week to talk on Monday, which is, of course, a holiday. Harvard is
they
so...
love ruining your...
Yeah, well, Harvard is so holiday... Like, Harvard is so, like, I don't give a crap if it's a holiday.
And we've got this peaceful hotel called the Sheraton Commander.
Oh, that's your favorite, right?
It's only 6 floors high, and if you get a good position, you go to a lounge with free snacks.
Yes, so it's called the Club
hotel.
Lounge. If they don't book us on the Club Lounge,
Booker, they never do.
You
could live in the Sheraton Commander or New York City,
New York, of course.
Mm. But P.S., no offense, we call it the Sheraton, even though it's Sheraton.
I know, that's why I said it that way.
Yes, I'm just letting people know because 99.9% of the people call it Sheraton.
Or the Sheraton?
Yeah, would you rather live in the Sheraton Commander on the club level with the free snacks where the dogs can stay because it's a pet-friendly place, or right across the street from where George Washington took command of the troops, or Would you rather live directly on the Bruckner Expressway?
On the expressway.
That's a hard... That's an...
Come on.
Boston Strong Command.
Whoa! Whoa.
Be quiet. Be quiet.
You know why? It's because... It's because they have a T there. They have a subway that he's like... Ah. It's his second favorite one. Yeah. Anyways.
No, what about the path?
No. Yeah, but that's basically just... I mean, no offense, Jersey, but that's like glue stuck onto New York, right? It's like... If New York City wasn't here, you think they'd have a path train, Booker?
No.
Wait, what's wrong with the place where George Washington...
No, I'm just saying. It's like all history, steeped in history, blah, blah, blah. Nothing wrong with that. So anyway, so on Monday, which is it Labor or Memorial? I always get them confused. Labor Day. On Labor Day, Harold McGee and I are going to give a talk, a public lecture, to which you are all invited, at Harvard in Cambridge.
Is it new stuff?
Well, for whom? It's stuff I've never talked about before. Mm. It's called New Angles on Old Beverages. You like that? New Angles, Old Beverages. So you know what I'm doing? I'm going to talk a lot about Saratoga water. In fact, I'm going, because I'm going to be having Saratoga water at the new bar, I'm going with some of the opening bar team tomorrow to Saratoga to get a bunch of Saratoga water to see whether or not it stores properly in kegs for a month, because we're assuming we're going to need a month of Saratoga water. So we're going to taste out Saratoga water, real Saratoga water, not that rainwater in a blue bottle that everyone pays for that has the Saratoga label on it. People! That is not the real Saratoga water. It comes from Saratoga, but it's really just rainwater. Stas and I, when we were up there last year in September, we were like, this is for jackasses,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I never got to write the article because I was too slow, and Lucky Peach is now closed, but we have an entire article that I was supposed to write on Saratoga spring water and why... You know, I'm interested in Saratoga spring water, so I'm going to do a version of that. Plus, it's possible, I'll tweet it out if I get it. I don't even want to mention what it is, but I might have the world's greatest water-related surprise at the Harvard lecture that you could possibly imagine. I'm not going to say it because...
Do I know it?
Maybe. I'll tell you off air because I don't even want to put in people's minds that they might be able to taste... The stuff that I'm going to try to get a hold of. I don't even want to put it as a seed in people's minds because if I did, anyone who likes any sort of quality at all, anyone who has any sort of soul, anyone with a modicum of spark in their eyes would cancel their plans and go to the public lecture if I got this, which I don't know if I'm going to.
Are you going to take the baths that we did?
No, I don't have time. I'm just going to go harvest the waters and go. So have we talked about it on air much? Just a little bit, right? The Saratoga water. The original Saratoga waters were kind of medicinal waters, but they're very highly, let's say, taste. They have a very high taste to them.
Eggy.
Some of them are eggy, sulfury, right? And some of them, but that flashes off pretty quickly. A lot of them are carbonated from the ground, which is why we were interested in them in the first place, because both Nastasia and I believe that... God wants you to drink water with bubbles in it, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas Booker only drinks flat water because he is an enemy of quality. Right, Booker? Booker, are you an enemy of quality?
I don't know. No.
Well, are you getting better about being picky or no?
No.
You're not getting better about being picky.
Last week, didn't he mention last week he's back on chicken now?
On bacon, I heard.
No. He's not back on bacon yet, back on chicken.
Red meat. So, no red meat.
Baby steps.
Also, I found out if you're a parent, you should probably not do kind of what I do. So, like, I constantly mangle phrases. You know me, Stas. Yes. I constantly mangle phrases. So I realized, like, a couple of weeks ago that Booker only knows the mangled versions of the phrases, and so he uses only the mangled versions of the phrases.
Like what?
Well, then I also found out I saw this show, The Tick, yesterday, and The Tick used a similar variant of a mangled phrase that I used on the TV. My version is, we'll burn that bridge when we get there, when we come to it. We'll burn that, which is, of course... Not exactly what you're not supposed to. First of all, you're not supposed to burn your bridges at all.
We do that, so you use that.
And we don't even get to cross the bridge because we burn it like when we get there, before we cross it. We'll burn that bridge when we come to it. And so The Tick used a variant of that, which I was appreciated, kind of, you know, because I think that's what the phrase should be, because it's really like you never get to win.
Mm-hmm.
The other one I like to say is find a penny. I've told you this. Find a penny, pick it up. This is what Dak says all the time. Find a penny, pick it up. All that day, your luck will suck. Find a penny, let it lay. Your good luck will last all day.
That's good.
Yeah, and I just have, because who the hell wants to pick up the damn penny, right? So instead, Dax is like, whoa, penny, I didn't pick it up. Woo!
Ah.
So anyway, so like I mangle all sorts of phrases like that. But I realized you probably shouldn't do that when you have kids.
Can we get to the guy from last week that I said was middle-aged?
A penny is 1 cent.
We already answered his question.
I know.
So what do you mean get to him? He already answered his question.
No, but we didn't answer the question. You said you don't know that he's middle-aged. And then he wrote in to me and said, just turned 38, so middle-aged man is right. Thanks, Chip.
Yeah, but what does that have to do with anything? That you happen to be right doesn't mean you're in general right.
Our audience is middle-aged men who like cooking and weird equipment.
But what about Dito, who wrote in, who's a woman?
I know. But did you see the disgusting thing she sent? I appreciate. She's a woman.
Well, I do. It's supposed to prove that you're just wrong.
Leaf fungus?
Nastasia, which we'll get to the leaf fungus in a second, but Nastasia suffers from the same problem that afflicts all of everything I see on the TV nowadays, which is you choose one specific and then say, see, it proves the general incorrect thing that I say.
The majority of our fans.
You have not shown me any majority. Like, the thing is, it may be true or may not be true, but you take individual examples of things. This also happens in cooking. People take individual examples of things and falsely generalize constantly. This is what people this is how people get everything wrong all the time. False generalizations based on one or two specifics.
What I'm going to do. Please, listeners, write in to nlopez@bookerandax.com with your age and your marital status. Thank you.
What does a marital status have to do with anything?
Because most of
you care about gender. What do you care about marital status?
Because they're mostly married whose wives won't let them buy the kitchen equipment.
I hate your characterization of our listeners.
Please write
Speaking
in
of which, you want to take a call?
Yes.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello, Dave?
Yeah. Also, may I say this one thing before you start? Nastasia's point is also self-proving. Please, what she is saying is, please write in if you fall in the demographic.
No.
Yes,
or don't.
Human nature.
Or whatever
human
you are.
Human nature.
Whatever you are.
Right, sorry, question.
Whatever you are.
Question, caller, you're on the air.
For the record, I'm 29 and I'm married.
29, not middle-aged, Stas.
Okay.
Yeah, Louis from Florida calling again. How's it going?
I'm going all right. How's Florida?
My first. Really, really wet right now. It's been raining for the last 4 days, which is something good, I would say, instead of the hot.
Right, right. Well, good for you guys. Not so good for the guys west of you. Anyway, what do you got going on?
I was actually had a question about the spin, so I ordered one. Still waiting on it. But my question is, are you able to clarify beer?
So I have done some tests in of beer, actually not beer, I did cider, and then I did some tests spinning yeast out of beer, and it was successful. The issue with it is obviously because you're shooting it out of the spins all when you're doing it, it tends to throw some oxygen into it at a point usually in the beer making process when you don't want to have oxygen in it. So, right, because it's at the end when you're doing it. And so generally at that point, you're not really wanting to oxygenate it somewhat. What I would say is what I did it with cider, I also did it at a point where you don't want to add oxygen to it at the end. And so what I did was after I clarified it, I hit it with some CO2. I carbonated it to flash off the oxygen real quick and to protect it. So I had to do an extra, post filtration step that you wouldn't have to do if you were, let's say, like krausening or naturally carbonating or something like this. So that's kind of my only caveat. Now, what I was thinking, obviously, is if you were going to do it a lot, I would just like put CO. I would just like. Put a line, turn it on, and bleed CO2 into the chamber as it was going through the top. And like then I feel that, you know, you probably wouldn't have an oxygen problem, but you'd have to run some tests. So the answer is yes, it works. Also, I mean, What I would do it for, frankly, is I would use normal racking for 99% of what you're doing, unless your beer is extremely cloudy. And then I would use it for recovery off the stuff at the bottom just to increase your yield. Because otherwise, you know, to really get a super, super clear result, you're going to be talking like fairly slow rates, like 80, maybe 100 mils a minute. And so like over a 5 gallon batch, you'd be kind of be talking a lot of time. It'll work. You don't need to attend it because, you know, unless you're actually filling up the rotor with gunk, you know, you're not going to have to like change it a lot, but it is just a lot of kind of physical time. So those are kind of the caveats I'd put in place. But yeah, I've tested it with cider and small tests with beer.
Perfect. And I have another question.
Uh-huh.
I was listening to you earlier episodes, and in one of them you talk about starch enzyme breaker. Uh-huh. Can you elaborate a little bit more on that?
Sure. So I'm trying to remember. I didn't write down the ones that I was using, but they're also made by Novozymes and distributed by Guzmer, who's the ones that do it here. Now, Modernist Pantry got me some samples, and hopefully someday they're going to carry them. The ones that I used were one called Termamil. And I used another one called San Clear, and I forget what the designation of it. And there's another one I think was called Super San or Super Clear. And there's two or three different enzyme types that are used in distillation for starch breakdown. And one of them is used kind of during what's called during the cook process, and it's to make the starch slurry thinner, right? Because it's a lot easier to get to everything if you break up the stuff and the starch slurry is not so thick. And so, and I believe that one is, I believe that's the Termamil that does that one. And then after that, they use a saccharification enzyme, which is, I believe, the San. But again, I'd have to go back and look at the data on their things. Now, when I'm doing it, because I'm not doing a two-step process, what I would do instead is I just did things like cook a sweet potato, steam or roast it, or cook a potato, steam or roast it. Same with anything, or like a banana that had excess starch in it. You take the leftovers, you cook it, and then I would let it cool, and I would hit it with a mixture of all the enzymes at once, and then just let it sit long enough to get it to go, just to see if that was a reasonable procedure. And I was able to get pretty good results. The sweet potato paste was just crazy. I didn't really actually like regular potatoes converted into a sweet paste as much as I kind of thought I would.
Okay.
But it's really good for that. It was good at knocking excess starch out of corn, excess starch out of... I didn't try it very much on, for instance, one of the problems, like, I haven't really done a lot of testing with starchy bananas to see whether I could knock the starch out of them, because they don't really have enough flavor for me to make it worthwhile. Ditto with starchy apples. Usually starchy apple like isn't ripe yet. It doesn't have like a full flavor development, so you wouldn't really want to be clarifying a starchy apple. Like, I was focusing on things more that had starch that, you know, that you'd want to, even at maximum flavor potential point have starch in them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. Understand.
Yeah.
Perfect.
All righty. Speaking of Spinzols, we sent an update yesterday. I don't know what it is, Stas. I got a bunch of people on Twitter saying that they didn't receive the email update. I don't know what it is, but I had them all email Modernist Pantry.
Also check their spam sometimes.
They all said that they did.
Sometimes they give an email address that they don't use anymore when they bought the Spinzol.
Well, okay, well, rather than blaming the customer, I'm just saying. If you haven't received it, email Modernist Pantry. And let's figure out why you didn't receive the update, right?
Where do they email Modernist Pantry?
Well, you want to say what the preferable email is?
I think it's just info@modernistpantry.com.
info@modernistpantry.com? Okay. And then say regarding the kind of Spinzol. Then they built all the update was they built all the units, but our guy Chris in China wasn't happy with the QC on it. And they had two. They basically put rotors in that weren't at our spec for balance, and so we had to. They literally unboxed every single unit and tested them and divided them into piles of ones where they had to rebalance the rotors and not. And it's looking like We are going to be okay for everyone who is pre-ordered to ship this week. I'm going to send out an update later this afternoon or possibly tomorrow when I verify the exact numbers. But it looks like we're actually okay to ship all the pre-orders this week. All the additional ones that we ordered are probably going to be postponed for a while they rebalance the rotors. But anyway, so that's the Spinzall update.
Hey, before we take another call, do you want to hear some of the demographic information that the chat room is reporting?
Yes.
All right, we got 30 married and my wife doesn't allow me to have a pressure cooker. 33 married, 2 kids. 41 single, and I buy all the stupid kitchen equipment I want.
Nice.
But what's the no gender? Just single. There's no gender in any of
this. This is all male. This is all male.
What? What? All right. It's very upsetting.
Still going.
I love men.
There's
obviously.
There's one more.
This is like I'm like a reverse Trump. I love men. But like.
Okay, go on, Dave.
48 married, 2 kids, 1 dog. That's all we got so far. Keep it coming, chat room.
I'm going to say what? If you got
That person just added, I have an expensive Fissler pressure cooker. Don't tell my wife how much it cost. Didn't tell my wife how much it cost.
Love it.
I'm saying you already have the one dog. Just get the second dog. Anyway. Women of the world, please.
Yeah, call.
Caller, you're on the air.
Hello?
Hey, how you doing?
Hi. My name is Quinn. I'm from Canada. Should I enter my demographic information too?
Yes.
I don't know. No. All right. Fine.
Yeah. What do you got?
24 male and is desperately single an option.
Don't worry.
Yes, it's an option.
All right. What do you got for us?
Okay. So my question is, I've set myself a bit of an impossible task. So I'm making food for people who are on the keto diet, so that's basically no starch, no sugar, or almost no starch, no sugar.
All right, so keto being K-E-T-O and not the Andean capital high up in the mountains.
Yeah.
I would much prefer to be on a keto diet, only eating foods that are grown high in the Andes. That would be an awesome diet. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. So, not my thing, but, I'm cooking for people.
Yeah.
So my goal is to make an extruded pasta.
Okay. Wait, with no starch?
Basically no starch.
Yeah.
So my initial plans are basically roasted / dehydrated cauliflower, probably a lot of egg powder, and then maybe some flax or chia to sort of reinforce it.
To really blow it through their colons, huh? Okay. Hey, Booker, what do you think about cauliflower?
It's disgusting.
I actually love cauliflower, but I don't know how that mélange is going to work on extrusion, but can I push you in a different direction for a minute?
Me?
No, not you, Booker. Caller. Can I push you in a different direction for a minute? Okay, look.
Sure.
Are these folks vegetarians?
No.
Okay. Do you have any fish allergies or shrimp allergies in this group?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Wiley Dufresne went like way back in the day. Way back in the day. So I'm going to want to say like 2002. Or 2003 or something like this, in the early days of using transglutaminase, meat glue, the enzyme that makes meat stick together, came up with what I think is one of the greatest meat glue, which available also in Mono's Pantry, not to push the chill for them, but, too much. But they, you take the transglutaminase powder and you basically robo-coup or blend or process whatever you want. Shrimp is what he used. Enough, salt to make it taste good. And then about 1% of transglutaminase, and then enough liquid to make it pumpable. And then he extruded it directly into water, hot water. I think he might have been doing 57, or he might have been going as high as 60 C. I don't remember. And then at that temperature, the enzyme immediately sets the shrimp into a pasta. and it has the, because you salt it, and because it's finely blended together, it actually has tooth like a pasta, and it's great, works great. It works fantastic. And so that's a shrimp pasta. The other pasta also that Wiley Dufresne came up with, and this is the other one I'd recommend if they don't want to go, it's not strictly vegetarian because it's obviously because it's got gelatin in it, but he used to make vegetable pastas by, and you'd have to look up, the recipe's been published on the internet a couple times, but it's a little bit finicky. You got to work on it a little bit. But he mixes gelatin and he does the whatever, makes the puree that he's going to turn into a pasta. And then he mixes gelatin, you know, he'll put the gelatin in water, dissolve it, mix in transglutaminase to it. I think he was using the straight stuff, the TI, but I can't remember. He says, my memory is he said it works with RM, which is the one with casein in it, but it really doesn't. You need the TI, which is the straight stuff. So you mix the gelatin, and what happens is the transglutaminase cross-links the gelatin, and when you cross-link gelatin, it no longer melts. So once you spread it out on a sheet, let it set overnight, you let it set overnight, then you can cut it into noodles, like whatever you want, fettuccine, tagliatelle, whatever you want. How do you actually pronounce that, Stas?
Tagliatelle.
All right. Cut it into those things, and it doesn't break anymore. It sets into a pasta, also with a nice texture. So those are the two, both things I would recommend for these kind of completely non-starch. Now, gluten-free pasta, not a problem, but no starch at all, I would recommend, going the transglutaminase route. Either with directly with a protein like shrimp, which is the classic one that Wiley did, or with Wiley's gelatin vegetable noodles. They're awesome.
Yeah, my backup plan, well, the ultimate backup plan is, again, a ribbon-style noodle, because, I mean, I can make that in my sleep. Because, I mean, basically just you throw out a bunch of egg yolks, you spread it thin, you set it, you cut it. You're done.
Right, I forgot extrusion. But the shrimp noodle ones you can definitely extrude, and they're pretty good. I think
certain mushrooms and maybe some like milk powder and my egg powder would add enough protein content and maybe some gelatin.
Well, the main structure of mushrooms is, I believe, chitosan, chitin rather. I think.
Yeah.
And so I don't think they'll glue together. I mean, obviously they provide kind of a meaty texture. I've never tried to make a pasta. Basically, you need to hold it together with some sort of protein that you can set, right? So you're already on the path. It's either like eggs. If you were going to add flax, you're basically adding that just to snot it up so that it holds itself together while you're setting with the protein. It's not going to permanently set it, right?
Another quick question.
Uh-huh.
If I do a first attempt with just the egg powder, should I extrude right into some hot water?
I don't know. I've never done it, so it's hard for me to say. Try it. I mean, the thing is, it doesn't hurt to try it, because when you're putting it through your machine, you can just put some directly into water and some not and see what happens. I'd be hesitant to say I have a recommendation just because I have no idea how it's going to behave.
Yeah. I just thought I'd see what was possible.
Yeah, look up Wiley shrimp noodles and give them a shot. I think you're going to be pleasantly surprised, and so will your keto friends.
Yeah, I just got to pay shipping to Canada from Modernist. You should get them to get like a Canadian distributor.
No, they send to Canada.
They send to Canada, but I don't know how it works.
Yeah, but you have to pay customs and stuff.
Mm. Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe Activa, which is Ajinomoto, they probably have a Canadian distributor, but the problem is that when you buy directly from them, you have to buy in kilo units. It's also available in stores here. So Wiley, who is, you know, Wiley and Nils Noren were the two kind of first chefs who were using meat glue here in this area in the States. And Wiley, they sell it now at Kalustian's, which is a store, you know, here in Manhattan, but they sell it in they sell it at room temperature, repackaged in plastic bags. And every time Wiley goes in, he feels compelled to go tell them that he disagrees with this way of storing it, but whatever, what are you going to do? Anyway, good luck. Tweet me back on cooking issues. Let me know how it works.
And, maybe if I have some ideas, I'll call back.
Yeah, and tweet me on cooking issues. Let me know how it works out.
I will. Thank you.
All right, cool. All right, you want to get some questions here? I don't think you want to do some questions. Can we do some questions?
Right, dude.
Yeah, we got one more call if you want to take.
All right, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, Dave. How are you doing?
Doing well.
Good. So I'm 24. I'm a male, and I'm trying to convince my significant other to buy a Spinzol.
Oh, nice.
Getting there. Anyway, I have two questions for you. One, I tweeted to you a while back about trying to keep my pork terrine from oxidizing, and you had mentioned vitamin E.
Yep.
Do you have any specific resource for that, or is that as simple as just like going to a supplement store and just getting vitamin E?
Okay, so the answer is yes. I do not have a specific source. It's just like that's typically – so if you see like vitamin E or tocopherol on a label that's added as an antioxidant, like that's for oil. And I know commercial oils are doped with that to keep them from oxidizing. But I don't have a source. Okay. I would just go, yeah, buy some pills and then like blend them up. You know what I mean? And see kind of what happens. But, you know back when I was at the FCI and I could do this kind of crap every day, I would just tell someone and be like, blend these two things and then we'll let them sit a week and see what goes on. But like, I haven't been able to run those kind of tests in a while, but that's what I would do. But I would never rely on just, this seems like it's okay. I would definitely do an A-B test. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, but I would just try that. Unless someone in the chat room maybe has a source, Dave, if you can put that out to them, see what they have to say.
Chat room?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
I'll definitely give that a try.
All right, cool. And if you find anything out, remember to tweet me back so that I know what's going on. All righty?
Yeah, absolutely. And then one more quick question for you, actually.
Sure.
I've been doing a little bit of research on cocktails, and specifically, a gin martini. And I've heard somewhere along the lines, I think it's an old wives' tale, about not shaking the martini. You're supposed to stir it as to not quote unquote bruise the gin.
Uh-huh.
Is there any kind of science behind that, or is it just a wives' tale?
By the way, is it wise with an S or wive with a V?
It's wives. Wives, not wise.
It's not an old tale that is wise. No. It's a tale
sexist
told by old wives.
Yes.
Really?
Yep.
All right.
Hashtag feminism.
So to answer your question, and this actually, while we're doing this, this goes right into the next question. So I'm going to answer your question, but I'm also going to read this question from John Vavrushko about the very similar thing. So you're going to hear me read this question, and then I will answer both of them at the same time. I've been reading your book. I have a complex question. I'm not sure it will yield anything useful, but it's been driving me crazy, and maybe it's dumb. This is from John. I want to figure out what the relationship of trace oils in certain spirits, absinthe, gin, whiskey, is to the difference of shaking and stirring them. Does it have something to do with why whiskey becomes cloudy when it's shaken? Is it related to the louching effect absinthe experiences? I've heard a term along the lines of spontaneous emulsion, but I really don't know much about it. I know you're busy and your email is flying off the hinges, but thanks. Regard, John. So maybe I was supposed to email him back. If you have a question,
maybe
I'm not going
to
email you back.
Maybe he doesn't listen to the show.
Yeah, but, I mean, all right. Well, this is the venue in which I answer questions. Anyway, so now let me answer both questions. Should you shake your gin martini? And by the way, in my world, you have to say vodka martini. But if you say martini, it is, Nastasia?
Gin.
Right. Even Booker, do you know what's in a martini? He's not even listening to me anymore. He's playing Fruit
not
Ninja.
Really.
No? Anyway. Dave, you're with me on this, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. So,
how many people would get upset when they ask for a martini and then they're surprised when it's gin?
I think a lot of people would.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
What?
I think society
yeah.
is conditioned to the vodka martini.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
I think if you want a vodka martini, you have to say vodka martini.
You're right technically, but I just
I don't like people to get confused. So at the bar, we would always, well, at the bar, you write martini and then you write under it gin so that people know what they're getting. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, I would always tell people what they're getting just because you don't want people to be surprised. You know what I'm saying? Man, the world really is falling to pieces, isn't it? which by the way,
the world is a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with Peter Tosh? Anyway. Do you know that song, Vampire? Anyway, not his best work, It was the album that came out right before he died. What was that album called? I think it was called No Nuclear War. And that's the album in which, so I had been listening to a lot of like the Wailers and Bob Marley, and I had just gotten into Peter Tosh as his own person. I bought that album, and then he got basically murdered right before he was about to go on tour for, and I was going to see him.
Did you have tickets?
No, he hadn't gone on tour yet. I always miss people like that. You know what I mean? Like, I'd obviously missed Marley because he had been dead by the time I was listening to him. But then Tosh, I had an opportunity and didn't. So people, you should go see the people you want to see now while they're still alive. You know what I'm saying?
No.
You're not going to go see Billy Joel. Nastasia is never going to see Billy Joel live in concert because Nastasia had tickets to see Billy Joel live in concert, and instead,
I've heard this story,
was at a stupid event with me. That, by the way, every once in a while she tries to blame me for making her be at that event, and then she's like, you know what? No, it was my fault. You didn't know there was a concert. I didn't tell you. I forgot. Then literally, like as we were packing up, she's like, I was supposed to be at a Billy Joel concert tonight. And even though Billy Joel is one of Nastasia's favorites, you're not a Neil Diamond fan like I am, though, right?
If there was one song I could eradicate from Earth, it would be Sweet Caroline.
It's a good song. Crap on you.
I'm with you, Nastasia.
Why?
Thank you.
Why? Because
of all the little inserts that people do.
It's a good song. What about Cracklin' Rose?
Yeah. All the rest are fine. That would be one song I would eradicate, even more than Pretty Woman.
You have something against the Roy Orbison song Pretty Woman?
Kind of.
Okay.
Oh, love Roy Orbison, though.
Yeah, I have some great Roy Orbison stories.
When you guys would hang back in the day?
No, but a friend of mine hung out with him and has what might be the best story of all times, but not for
family show.
Family show. But the, so what are we talking about? We're talking about, Billy Joel. So actually, we're talking about cocktails.
Billy Joel via martinis.
Yeah. So Nastasia refuses to go see Billy Joel. I offered to get her tickets once, and she was like, no, I don't deserve it. I will never see Billy Joel in concert.
Oh, don't be so hard on yourself.
I have to. I would be hard on another person doing the same stupid thing.
What was the game they used to play at MTV, Nastasia?
Would you rather be Billy Joel or, what's his name? Ugly Man.
Which one?
Tom Petty? Yeah.
And what's, and so what
no
was...
No one would ever be Billy Joel.
Really?
Yeah.
They'd at rather least. Go Petty?
Yeah.
What about you, Dave?
Yeah, Petty.
Wow.
What about you, Dave?
I mean, I like Tom Petty, but I mean, Billy Joel, I think is, I mean, like, I don't care like what I look like. I mean, you're Billy freaking Joel.
So you'd rather be Billy Joel?
That means you have to play the garden every month.
Oh, yeah, that's so terrible. And like, but my point is that
sounds
like
a drag.
Look, Billy Joel came up with more good songs than almost anybody. Even if you don't like him, you have to say that he's come up with more good songs than most people could dream of coming up with. You know, how could you not like? I mean, like, I like Tom Petty. You know, Running Down a Dream, Full Moon Fever, The Heartbreakers, all good. But I mean, Billy Joel, like album after album after album, and then people give him crap for not coming out with anything for the last 20
years. Really,
you
think he's like an albums guy? Like his albums stand as artistic works?
Glass Houses is not a good freaking album.
I'm just saying, like, there may be a couple in there, but he's mostly just
I'm going to tell you this. He has more albums than I have.
So you would rather look like Billy Joel?
Oh, the question is look like?
Yeah.
I'd rather look like
Tom Petty. Oh, just look like?
There you go.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought the looking like Tom Petty was just supposed to discourage you from picking Tom Petty.
Yeah.
What about Tom Petty or Rick Ocasek? Back to cocktails. So with a martini, there's with any cocktail like this, when someone says bruising, right, it is somewhat confusing with the idea of louching, right? So in a louching situation, something with absinthe, what's happening is there is an oil in it, an essential oil that is anisole, I believe it is. I forget the name of it exactly, but It's in the absinthe, and at the high alcohol that absinthe is bottled at, it is soluble. And because it is soluble, it's clear. When you add water to it, it very quickly shifts into a place where it is no longer soluble in that anymore. The water content goes too high. And immediately at that point, it drops out of solution, but it does so in such a way that the actual bits of oil are so tiny that they form a spontaneous emulsion, and it stays emulsified for a while. After a while, it will settle out if you let it sit for a long time. If you let something loosh, and then you either heat it, like with a red hot poker, or you let it sit for a long time, the looshing effect will go away. But that's what looshing is. When you shake a drink, you get swirly things in it, but really what that is just bands of different dilution when it's not mixed, aeration, and a lot of other shaking secondary effects that don't really have anything to do with solution. So if you shake a something and it's turbulent, cloudy, and you can see the aeration, it doesn't look 100% clear, and you let it sit on your bar top for a mere couple of minutes, it will actually go clear again. So in order to make the things like whiskey, like all of the wood, the polyphenols and whatnot from the wood, in order to drop those things out of solution and actually have it go cloudy, you need to remove a lot of liquid. So if you're redistilling an aged liquid, once you get all the alcohol out and some of the water, it'll at one point go bang, it'll go opaque, and you won't be able to see through it anymore. And that's because you've oversaturated the remaining liquid with, the wood solids that have been absorbed into it. But you won't get that from shaking. But where this all fits together, people, what they say is bruising is a bad visual phenomenon, but in reality, shaking a martini is a bad idea because it's just too diluted. Right? So unless you're going to shake it for just a small amount, you want your martini to be clear, crystal, crystal clear. So in order to do that, you want as little agitation as possible. So if you actually want an overwatered martini, right, what you should just do is stir it longer so that it still looks good. Alternatively, you could just add ice water to it. A classic stirred martini is only going to get down to about 0 degrees Celsius, maybe minus one, minus two at the most. If you shake it, it'll get down probably to about -4, -5 Celsius and be consequently more diluted. Now, if you're having a vodka martini, odds are maybe you want it over chilled because it doesn't have any oak problems and really you're just trying to slam hard liquor as fast as you possibly can. In that case, you should just water it down to whatever amount you want to water it down to and then throw it in the freezer and then chill it down to whatever low temperature allows you to slam back the alcohol at the fastest rate humanly possible, because it seems to me that is why you have a vodka martini. Is that incorrect, Mustafa?
Great.
Anyway, I hope that answers that question. Via Billy Joel. We have another...
you want to take a quick break?
Mm-hmm. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with more cooking issues.
This episode is brought to you by Castor and Pollux, maker of America's number one organic pet food, Organix. You put a lot of care and thought into what you eat. After all, you're a food radio listener. That thoughtfulness goes hand in paw with how you feed your pets. Purposeful pet food doesn't happen by accident. Castor and Pollux scours the earth to carefully select the best organic and responsibly sourced ingredients. New Pristine from Castor and Pollux is the only complete line of pet food made with ingredients that are responsibly raised, caught, or grown. Feed your dog or cat the new standard, like grass-fed beef, wild-caught fish, and vegetables grown without synthetic fertilizers or chemical pesticides. Pristine from Castor and Pollux. Purposeful pet food. Learn more at heritageradionetwork.org/pets.
It's 3 minutes off.
And we are back. So let's get into proof that we actually have some women writing into the show.
Do we have any more demographics, David?
No, everybody's quiet.
Yeah, all right.
Although I did get a recommendation for getting vitamin E from Amazon. Go figure.
And they've used it for cooking?
Sounds like it.
All right, we'll check out the chat room on that. Dido, spelled like the musician Dido, but pronounced Dido, who is a woman, writes in. Right, Nastassi's like, I'm not even going to...
Wait, it is the musician?
It is not the musician, because the musician's name is Dido. This person's name is Dido, spelled Dido.
Maybe she's covering up her real identity.
That'd be a slick cover.
That'd be freaking amazing. I like that stuff. Do you like that stuff, Stas?
No.
Why?
I don't like it.
Why?
Sad. Sad songs.
You like sad things.
No, I don't.
You like angry things.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Coming from Amsterdam and a real foodie at heart and soul, I decided to move to Spain and follow my dream to become a winemaker. Currently, I'm working in a vineyard in Spain, starting harvest tomorrow. I'm enjoying your show every day as I make my way through the back catalog. I could not help but notice Nastasia's hate for leaf viruses, something I encounter on a weekly basis. So for you to enjoy Nastasia's leafy face, and Dito sent pictures of, Dave, you've seen them, those leaves with those growths, those like tumorous growths that pop out that look like columns of tumors coming out of the tops of leaves?
No.
What?
Look up leaf virus on your Google.
Anyway, okay. So this is a mite bud disease called Arenosi, kind of harmless, but it indeed looks disgusting. So in the U.S., it's called Araneum mite, a grape Araneum mite, which there's a bunch of different genuses and species, but the family name is Areophyta, which is a family of more than, as is off Wikipedia, more than 200 genera of mites, which live as plant parasites, commonly causing galls or other damage to the plant tissues, and are hence known as gall mites. Yes. And the one I think in the U.S. is called Colomeris vitis. And get this, Stas, they are tiny microscopic mites and are yellow to pinkish white. The mites are worm-like and have only two pairs of legs. Their primary method is to spread by wind all over Nastasia's body on a wide range of plants and has several major pest species causing substantial economic damages.
I have chills.
Yeah. So they eat on the stuff as it's growing, and I guess, and then, like, perturb how it grows, and that's why it grows into those weird shapes. Anyways. Nice. Dito also has some questions. Many people I talk to seem to proclaim that white refined sugar is the devil. Why is this? And why is it bad for you? Is this the same hype used around fat and salt as health enemies and still is? Yes. So, yeah, I mean, this is my opinion. This is my opinion. My opinion is, yeah, sugar is sugar no matter how you get there. And yes, we add a lot more sugar to our diet than we used to, and that high level of sugar, you know, may be not healthy. We may not be designed to have that much sugar. I don't know. I'm not an expert in that. What I am telling you is that if you're eating sugar, you're eating sugar. And whether that sugar comes from taking an entire orchard of pears and condensing it down into a cup so that you can pretend that you didn't add sugar to your fruit juice, to your cranberry juice, or as John Oliver so aptly puts it, bogberry. He is a funny guy. Have you ever seen that show?
No.
John Oliver, fantastic show.
I love that show.
Fantastic show. Funny man. So sugar in any of its forms is sugar. So that's why people are like, I don't eat sugar. I eat raisins. Raisin is nature's like fruit sugar. It's crazy high in sugar. So it might be true. The flip side of it might be true. There might be natural sweeteners, let's say honey, that do have other beneficial effects other than their sweetness that you do not get from refined sugar. This might be true. But to say that refined sugar itself is the devil, I think is just patently kind of anti-scientific and silly. Now, you might not like refined sugar because you might be against how it's produced. You might be against labor practices. You might be against the state of Utah, which apparently Idaho and Utah used to, like the Mormons used to control the sugar beet manufacturer. You know that stuff?
No.
That was their thingamajig.
ELO like, is Mormon.
And did they like sugar? Only beet sugar? Although many chefs, pastry chefs, prefer cane sugar to beet sugar. Anyway, whatever. So there are some reasons you might not want to be part of sugar, and there are reasons probably to not have boatloads of it. But I don't think if you're going to use sugar, I don't think that by using, brown sugar, even like naturally produced brown sugar like panela or piloncillo or any one of these things, I don't think any of that stuff's going to save you from, from anything that you're, versus white sugar. I think it's just an absurdity. Two, I bought a big canister of Chantana. I could use the Spanish on it, but it's xanthan. See, this is why if you were in Spain, they like xanthan so much more than we do because Chantana sounds cool, right? It sounds like something I want. Mm-hmm. Be like, sprinkle some Chantana on that song. on that some gum. You know what I mean? Whereas like xanthan gum sounds like some nasty business. You know what I'm saying? What do you think, Dave? What would you rather have sprinkled into your sauce? Chantana or xanthan?
Chantana.
Yeah, baby. Yeah. Which expires after December 2017. Is there really an expiration date on xanthan gum? No, no, no. There is not an expiration date on these things. When you're manufacturing a product, I know this from firsthand experience, when you're manufacturing a product, you are obliged to put an expiration date on it. The xanthan gum that you have, I mean, it's possible that some of it will break down in the absence of moisture over time, so it'll become less effective. But if you were to take that xanthan gum and keep moisture out of it, right? So remember, if you put a silica packet into something, it's not food. Don't eat it. Does anyone really try to eat those freaking silica packet stars that they write do not eat, not food all over?
Well, maybe kids do.
Booker, have you ever attempted to eat one of those packages that say do not eat?
No.
Dave, you ever attempted to do that?
Nope.
No.
Somebody has.
So anyway, if you did that.
Peter Kim screaming like a little girl.
Yeah. My phone, I forgot to turn off the thing. But if you did that, right, and put it into the pyramids and waited another couple of thousand years and pulled that xanthan gum out, my prediction is it would still thicken your sauces into a snotty mess if you use too much of it. That's just my prediction. Question three. Is there a way to keep... Is there a way to keep Bernays sauce stable for days? I asked because I saw it at a butcher shop on display and it made me wonder. Thanks so much and best regards from a bloody hot Spain, Dido. So, and it says right here, sauce, pronounced Dido, I am a girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
A girl, so she's like under 16?
Okay, so another thing with Nastasia is that if Nastasia doesn't respect a woman, calls her a girl. Calls her a girl.
Thing.
I've seen her do it a million times. So
I
like,
know, and I have lots of girlfriends that call each other girls.
Yeah, but it's like if you call yourself, like, you know, girlfriends, I'm going out with the boys, that's one thing. But if you're like, if you use it specifically to try to take away someone's authority by calling them a girl as opposed to a woman, I think it's wrong. And that's what you do.
All right, we should get to the question.
She referred to herself. Anyway, so my point is, so we asked this. I asked, I've never made one. So fundamentally, a Bernays sauce is similar to a looser mayonnaise, i.e., it's made with less oil than mayonnaise would be, and it's made with butter instead of with oil. So the problems are this, that when it cools down, if the butter, recrystallizes, it could possibly break the emulsion. And two, because it has a higher water content, it might spoil bacteriologically. It might spoil, whereas mayonnaise, a properly made mayonnaise, is actually, I mean, don't, you know, take, you know, but in as far as I've been able to tell, an actually properly made mayonnaise after it cures for a while is in fact shelf stable because it just doesn't have a high enough water activity, and the water that is there, it has enough acid in it to actually stop bacteria from growing, and so it is in fact shelf stable. It's basically awesome. Now, I put this question to two different people. Alex Talbot from Ideas and Food, and Alex said, I posed this question, and they said, yes, we made a reheatable recipe in our first book. We keep it refrigerated and heat it to order, and they use Methocel F50 in it. So check out his first book. He sent me some pictures, but I'm having trouble downloading because for some reason Heritage Radio doesn't want me to be able to use my phone.
You're on their Wi-Fi.
They're trying to turn Nastasia's phone keeps working, but mine for some reason is not. And I also texted Harold McGee, and Harold McGee said,
there are no faux Bernays's out there made with mayo and...
No, she said, there are now. Can you just read?
There are faux Bernays's out there made with mayo and turmeric to make them look buttery, but I think a real one will always break on rewarming after the butterfat has crystallized.
Right, so you have to do like a faux version with, I don't know whether Alex Nacki, they also might supplement it with some oil so that it doesn't kind of recrystallize accurately. Wait, Dave, are you telling me that we're done?
Time to go.
No, I'm telling you there's actually one more caller, but real quick.
All right, caller, you're on the air.
Hi, Dave. This is Jeffrey in Costa Mesa.
How you doing?
All right. How are you?
All right.
On the subject of sugar and cocktails, I want to get your take on brandied cherries. So I have a recipe that I like in terms of flavor and the consistency of the syrup, but I'm wondering about firming up or keeping the cherries firm. I have NovoShape, and I have calcium hydroxide, calcium lactate, gluconate.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And what would your approach be?
I wouldn't use the hydroxide. I would use actually...
Or calcium chloride.
Yeah, I would use a small amount of calcium chloride. Small. I don't remember the percentages offhand, but you basically just need just enough kind of calcium present to help in the cross-linking. I've run...
And would you do a Novo-shaped soak beforehand, or how would you incorporate that?
Yeah, so when they do the Novo-shaped stuff, a lot of times, because you're leaving stem on, yeah? I would run some tests. I did some tests soaking things that are easier to get liquids into, because the problem with a cherry is that the skin is relatively impervious, which is why it takes a while for the stuff to go in. And I think why some people might pull the stems, although my step grandfather who, you know, had cherries that were 70 something years old, their family secret was to never remove the stems when they were putting them into the alcohol. But yeah, I would do a pre-soak because I don't know what NovoShape's reaction to alcohol is. So I would do a pre-soak, and I know that some of these guys will needle the fruit slightly and then vacuum the NovoShape into it. So they'll like do like a light needling, and then they'll vacuum the NovoShape. The idea is that breaking the skin normally would hasten the breakdown, but because you're about to cross-link all the pectin, it's not a problem. And so then they would vacuum the NovoShape into the fruit on a soak, and you could do that in juice so that you're not getting any of the flavor out, and then brandy the hell out of them. That's my recollection. I can't taste cherries anymore, and so like I asked the bar every year, maybe at the new bar we'll actually get it done, but I've asked to run the protocol, and once I have the protocol, I'll definitely.
Wait, what's your demographic information? Are you willing to share?
Sure. I'm 33 and married. My wife is fine with the equipment, and she'll listen to the show as long as Booker is on or Dax is on.
Oh, nice.
And she would also love to have Jen on. So
I know everybody would.
We'll get Jen on someday. We'll get Jen on someday.
I thought of you with the cherries because I was at the Brogdale in England and got to taste some delicious cherries.
How were they?
Bad for you.
How were they?
Amazing. Had some Cordia from Czech Republic, some Lapins, a bunch of plums. Amazing.
In other words, like, were the sweets and the sours in at the same time?
Say it again?
Were the sweet cherries and the sour cherries in at the same time?
It seemed like mostly sweet that they had just harvested.
Oh, my God. Those are God's fruit. They're so godly. I love cherries. Someday I will kick this evil allergy, and I will be able to have cherries again, and I will just eat cherries. Cherries, one of the very few things I have never had too many cherries. I've never been like, you know what I don't want another one of? A cherry. It's never happened. You know what I mean? And probably never will.
Yeah, I couldn't keep up with the tour because I was just stuffing my face and getting a stomach ache and continuing on.
Right? Those fools in England are like, look at the trees. Nastassia and I were like, who cares about the freaking tree?
That was fun until we got to the gift shop.
What?
That was a fun time until we got to the gift shop.
What was wrong with the gift shop?
You wouldn't stop talking. What happened to the gift shop?
I was talking to the lady about the apple juice she was making because that's our business. Nastassia doesn't care. Nastassia was like, you know what? I won't spend the extra 5 minutes to actually have this be useful.
5 minutes.
Oh, 10.
No, it wasn't 10.
Nastassia will spend... I had a lunch once with Nastassia.
Oh, worst lunch of my life.
It doesn't matter. We were given the opportunity to taste hundreds of varieties of a fruit. I'm not going to get into it. I don't want to call anyone out. Hundreds of varieties, right? And Nastassia can't be bothered to put up with an hour and a half of a crazy lunch so that we, just to be freaking polite, to be polite, it doesn't even matter. Who cares? If it was an hour and a half of getting beaten with cricket bats, who the hell cares? We were getting something we wanted, and so you're polite. And she's wasted days of my life since that hour and a half years ago, bringing it up again and again and again.
Worst.
Anyways, thanks for calling.
We skipped the gift shop.
Yeah.
Good.
Right. Let me know how the cherries work. Tweet me on out. Okay, so I'm being kicked off, but Caleb's, I got your buckwheat crepes on notice. I have some answers for you, I think, next week. We already talked about the outdoor Komodo thing last week. Scott, I still got to get your question on smoke, and I hope Julian has not gone to, Hawaii yet, because I have some recommendations for your Mai Tais not next week, I'll be in Harvard next week after, cooking issues.
Thanks for listening.
listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.